Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hey all, Peter Zion here, coming to you from my parents' backyard in Iowa. I'm visiting because I'm a good boy. Anyway, today we're going to talk about the end of the Green Revolution in its current form, at least in the United States. There are three things that have come together to basically completely destroy the economics of the green transition. And then a couple of things on the side that are making it more difficult anyway. The first has to do with the baby boomers. Two-thirds of them have retired, which means that all of the money that they were saving for retirement has been liquidated and it's gone into less exciting financial instruments such as T-bills and cash. And that means there's less capital available for everything. So we've roughly seen the cost of capital in the United States increase by a factor of 4 in the last 5 years. It has nothing to do, or very little to do, with government policy. It's just that there's less money available in the system overall. So mortgage rates go up, car loan rates go up, anything that needs to be financed goes up. And that's a real problem for green tech. When you're looking at, say, a conventional thermal power plant, coal, natural gas, that sort of thing, you only have to pay for about 1/5 of the cost of the life of the plant at the front end. That's your upfront construction. And then about 2/3 of the expense over the full life of that power plant is the fuel, the coal or natural gas. And you buy that as you go. That's not how it works with wind and solar. With wind and solar, about 2/3 of the cost has to be paid up front. And that means it has to be financed. Well, you increase the cost of financing by a factor of 4, and all of a sudden you're talking about a financial commitment that's just huge compared to what it would have been just 5 years ago. And that is now happening across the entire space. So that alone would have probably ended 70% of the power plants that are solar and wind just off the top. The second problem, of course, is that because you have to finance everything up front in the first place, anyone who wanted to do the green transition really needed a helping hand from government, typically at the federal level. And the Biden administration, through things like the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, was very big on providing that financing. Well, that's basically gone to zero under the Trump administration. So your financing costs have gone up by a factor of 4, and you don't have any outside help. But the real killer, especially for solar, has now been the tariffs. Almost all of the photovoltaic cells that are used in solar systems are produced in China, oftentimes with slave labor. And while the green transition folks were willing to overlook the fact that most of this stuff was... Ha! I still have a sticker on there. While most of the folks in the green transition were willing to overlook the slave labor thing in order to get the panels that they needed, you can't really overlook 145% tariff. So if the PV cells cost you 2.5 times as much and your financing cost has quadrupled, that's just not going to fly. Now, it's not quite as bad for wind because there are some non-Chinese providers of wind turbines, most notably in Northern Europe, but there we have a tariff of, at the moment, 10%. It was 20% a week ago. That just introduces a lot of uncertainty into the system. So both of those things are gone. Wind, a little on the edges maybe. Solar's absolutely out of the question for most people now. The only other remaining piece is batteries. When last year the Biden administration slapped a lot of tariffs early in the year on Chinese electric vehicles to keep them out of the U.S. market, what happened is the Chinese repackaged all of the EV batteries into container units to be sold as grid storage. And so in calendar year 2024, adding battery storage was actually the cheapest form of power that you could add to your system. So the Texans in particular, you know, just boned up on that hugely. Because if you can have a battery grid system, It's actually better economics than, say, having a natural gas peaker plant, because they normally, peakers would only run a few days of the year. The batteries can take that load, but since you now have them, and since Texas is the number one green energy state, they would use their solar system to generate power during the day, store the extra in the batteries, and then use that during peak demand in evening hours when the sun's going down. It worked really well. It shaved like 4 to 8% off of power costs. But now we have 145% tariff on all of those batteries as well. So I don't want to say that that's going to stop cold, but the pace of the application is going to slow considerably because the Chinese dominate that space. And we haven't built the industrial plant here yet that is necessarily to fill the gap for ourselves. So for the moment, minimum 2 years, probably until we have a better battery chemistry, probably until we have better PVs, certainly until we have more diversified manufacturing base, which is a 10-year process, we're looking at the green transition taking a beat.